long hard days. They don't say God's changed my ways, changed my ways, those evil ways. So I set out, cross that way, strike them down.
That was the third hour.
To make them pay.
This Friday, March 27th, 2020. The big news is that this whole PR campaign talking about, you know, 18 months quarantining and all that stuff, it's all BS entirely. You know, and I'm not saying something's not happening and that people aren't going in. I think there's a sort of psychosomatic effect at this point to, you know, engineer stuff. People who have been engineered, unfortunately, because of all the social conditioning and the engineering, most people don't think for themselves. And so when the media parrots something, heads start bobbling like little bobbleheads. Yeah, I better go get myself checked out. Even though Mike Pence said repeatedly, let's see, there was on the 19th, it's important for every American to remember that if you don't have symptoms, you don't need to get a test. That was the 19th. But, you know, then Burke says, well, you know, you could be asymptomatic, you should still get tested. So that's contradictory, but of course she has an agenda, I think. And then she did her thing earlier this week. You know, over the weekend I had a fever and, you know, I'm meticulous. I went and I'm, you know, Walter Reed, and I got tested. So I'm back here 2 days later, even though I would tell you that you should stay home for 14 days, for 2 weeks. Self-quarantine. You think she's everyone's mother. So, you know, like Orwell observed in Animal Farm, all animals are created equal, but some animals are just a little more equal than others, you know, or at least they fancy themselves more equal than others. Where is that other... And said the same thing more than once. Anyway, we need to get to the phones. Yeah, people without symptoms should not get tested, he said. That was, 2 days in a row? The 18th and the 19th? Our health experts tell us to remind every American it's important to remember people without symptoms should not get tested. We want to make sure that the supply of testing is there for those that need it most or are symptomatic. Or in the vulnerable population. But we keep hearing, you know, we've heard over and over throughout this thing, you know what, you might not know. You could be a carrier, asymptomatic, and you could infect the whole world and kill everyone on Earth and not even know it. That's basically the messaging we've been getting, which is hogwash. Let's go to the phones and grab Dave in New York. Dave, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi. Yeah, I never heard the media saying that everybody in the world could die from this. But
that's
the question is
hyperbolic.
I'm
illustrating what we've been hearing from the press, which is hyperbolic. Yes, I'm being
okay.
Facetious.
Well, I think that okay, all right. Well, I think the real fear is that there could be exponential growth of the infections and the deaths, and as you're. You played a guy a few minutes ago, and he finished up saying, you know, it's going to play out, and we're going to see. And I think that's a very
right.
good point. What I heard you say before was that you thought this was a fraud, and I haven't listened to all your shows. So what do you think is fraudulent about this?
The numbers are fraudulent, first of all. Have you heard that we might have to be dealing with this for up to 12 to 18 months? Have you heard about that?
I heard about that.
Have you heard that?
Private communications from the government people way in February.
You've heard that?
I heard that 18 months to 2 years from private people in the government who were doing modeling studies on this, like maybe NIH people.
Now, did you ask those people you heard that from where they got that information?
Oh, no. That was secondhand. That was from someone who was affiliated with government agency.
Okay, so is it important to know where this data is coming from? Because can data be inaccurate sometimes?
There was no data. That was just a claim.
And well, you said just a minute ago, you said based on modeling. And
yes,
that modeling is based on data.
They have done modeling.
Correct. So
I do not
does data ever get – is data – is modeling and data ever inaccurate? Do you think?
It is just a model. It's predictive ability is.
Dave, the question is simple: is data and modeling ever inaccurate? Yes or no? Is it possible that data and modeling?
No, because they give the parameters of the model, and so if they're honest within the data that they give, the data is not inaccurate. But the prediction may very well not become true. You know, I mean,
so let me ask you this.
Almost never does.
All right. Now, Italy is seriously revising their numbers. Italy has come out and said that up to 88% of the cases they reported, the deaths reported attributed primarily to COVID-19 are not. That's what Italy is saying. And I just read from the National Vitals. Dave, listen. Just listen for a second.
Yeah. Okay.
I just read from the National Vital Statistics System their guidance that they issued March 4th, which says, here's some basic information. Here's the basic guidance until they share their more formal and detailed guidance. This is what the folks who are reporting deaths on death certificates are – this is their guidance, according to the NVSS. And it says – it's important to emphasize that coronavirus disease 2019 or COVID-19 should be reported on the death certificate for all decedents where the disease caused or is assumed to have caused or contributed to death. Can you see how that might potentially skew some data if in a moment of urgency, perhaps, you know, there are some folks who are just saying, just write COVID-19 and there's a little explainer in certain places, but let's just call it COVID-19 for right now, when that's what countries like Italy and China and others have done, and we're hearing now that they are revising those numbers. Is it possible that maybe that could happen here based on this NVSS guidance, that those numbers would get revised here too?
I would say that if we had massive deaths, that would be the case, and as in the Black Plague, they had massive deaths. They said, bring out your dead, and they all made assumptions. There was really no test for these plagues back then. So I think the real question
that's
is
not even true.
Excess deaths above normal. Yeah.
That's not even true.
And that's
absolutely, and that's a good point. Are we seeing excess deaths above normal? And we're not. Not even where you are. And as I have mentioned before,
yes,
Kevin Berry's article.
I would say we are, simply because in the USA in the first 22 months, 22,000 people had died. The season started September 29th, and that data was from the CDC, for what it's worth. But that amounts to 143 deaths per day. Right now we're seeing slugs of yesterday was 268 deaths. Previous day was 247 deaths. So, you know, we're seeing slugs of it, but how long are we going to see the slugs and when's it going to top? You know, what's it going to amount?
Again, those numbers and that data is unreliable at this point. It's unreliable at best. It's not entirely accurate. Those numbers are most likely to get revised if we can even trust those.
Well, what I'm saying is that those numbers are higher than the flu season average deaths per day in the prior part of the season. It went up to maybe February 22nd or March, whatever. And
what
so
numbers? What numbers exactly? You talking about nationwide?
Nationwide in the USA, 22,000 deaths were reported in 22 weeks. That's 1,000 per week or 143 a day if you divide by 7.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a good benchmark.
And that's,
I mean,
are that's you talking about flu? Uses.
From influenza.
Right.
Attributed to influenza, okay?
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
all numbers, you know, these are just numbers. But
right.
So the USA daily deaths that are attributed to coronavirus are 268 as of yesterday, 247 previous day, and they go down as you go back in time. So I what I'm seeing is some excess deaths above the influenza background rate, and I'm not seeing what they're claiming for influenza deaths in these last few days either. So are they separating those out? And, you know,
and that gets to my point. The data that is used for this modeling, first of all, the big modeling, the main report and the primary modeling that was used to issue all of these sound bites appears to have come from one place, and the author of that has essentially retracted all of that. And in a bad year, you're talking about numbers from last year, which is a little,
no,
you know,
I'm talking about numbers from this season starting September 29th in 2009.
No, you said 22,000 deaths in 22 weeks. That's not this year. Or is that this year?
I'm telling you exactly what it is. It's this season, which started September 29th of 2019 and went.
You're talking about the influenza season this year.
Yes. Yeah. This
22,000 deaths. Right.
Right. Up to a certain point before the coronavirus deaths were really being significantly counted. Okay. So I think they're fairly independent data sets.
And again, how reliable is that? We don't know. We've heard... You know, I mean, Deborah Birx herself said that the testing was unreliable. She used the words, I think we even played the clip, I talked about it early on last week. She said, you know, we need to get good quality, sustainable testing out there, and you're going to find that the numbers were underreported and overreported. She said that during one of their task force press briefings. And I just read from the National Vital Statistics System that should get us all wondering, are these deaths overreported? As in, is COVID-19 really the leading and primary cause of death in all of these cases, these 1,301 cases, or is it assumed to have caused, or is it a contributing factor? And in those cases, we probably wouldn't have that on the list of the 1,300 deaths that are being reported in this country right now. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's very difficult to get a really accurate and your data set that you really know what happened in each individual case and you fully analyzed it. So I think, I mean...
No, it's not. Absolutely not. That is not true. And to prove that point, I would refer back to Kevin Berry's article. I was going to mention this before. Kevin Berry... Back in 2018, wrote a brilliant article titled "Did a Military Experimental Vaccine in 1918 Kill 50 to 100 Million People Blamed as Spanish Flu?" And using data that people can go look at right now, a couple of reports in particular that are listed on NCBI, the National Center for Biotechnology Information over at National Institutes of Health, one report titled A report on anti-meningitis vaccination and observations, et cetera, et cetera. And what was the other one? It's, I forget the title of it. Predominant role of bacterial pneumonia as a cause of death in pandemic influenza. That's a report that was published back in 2008. It has Anthony Fauci's name on it. And it talks about the fact that based on the 9,000 autopsies they reviewed, nearly 100% of those autopsies show that bacterial pneumonia was the cause of death, not this thing called Spanish flu. So, no, what you just said is not, it's not true.
No, what I'm saying is that the certainty, we are not certain why people are actually dying. For example, if you
That's not true. What I just said.
I'm trying
what
to tell
I just
you why
said,
that is true. Okay, it can be true because if you have influenza A tested in your system and you have COVID-19 tested in your system, which one did you die from? So if you only
correct.
Test for COVID-19,
and that's what I'm saying.
For influenza A.
Exactly, yeah. And that's precisely what I'm saying when it comes to the National Vital Statistics System guidance for certifying COVID-19 deaths. Right now, what you just said is exactly what I said about this guidance that's being issued. So you might have the seasonal flu and COVID-19, possibly. And if that's the case, right, which one was the actual leading and primary cause of death? Well, we're seeing based on this guidance is probably there's a broad brush approach being applied until the more formal and detailed guidance rolls out, which it hasn't yet. And so in those cases, no, you can't distinguish per se, but the guidance also goes on to say that, you know, they recommend, you know, certifiers should include as much detail as possible, it says. So to me, if you are trying to push a narrative that is false, and this narrative is false, the fact is we haven't seen the kinds of deaths that were modeled. And even, as you said, according to the seasonal flu numbers this year, and those are low numbers. In a bad year, we could expect to see 60,000 people die in a season, which would double the numbers that you mentioned, just for the seasonal flu.
Well, that was only for 22 weeks, Chris. Of the full season.
And that's usually what the seasonal flu is. It's about a half a year, right? It's that season that you mentioned from September to somewhere around now. Isn't that the seasonal flu season?
That's a great question. I'm not sure. So, yeah. Maybe they are suppressed this year. Yeah.
So if you haven't seen the live stream that Del Bigtree did last year, yesterday, I would encourage you to watch it. But like I said, going back historically, if what you said is true and we can't know for certain, then this report titled Predominant Role of Bacterial Pneumonia as Cause of Death in Pandemic Influenza, Implications for Pandemic Influenza Preparedness, the 9,000 autopsies they reviewed, they would not have been able to ascertain the leading cause of death, which they determined was bacterial pneumonia.
Yeah. Well, I'll make two comments. One is that in Mike Adams' model so far, the deaths that we've seen are greater than his predictive model predicted. And he had predictions out to, if nothing was done, out to July 4th of like 2.2 million deaths in the U.S. If nothing was
that is based on Neil Ferguson's modeling. That is verbatim coming from Neil Ferguson's modeling that was in that report from the Imperial College London, Impact of Non-Pharmaceutical Interventions to Reduce COVID-19 Mortality and Healthcare Demand. That's verbatim.
Oh, yeah.
2.2 million.
I was talking about his study. I was talking about Mike Adams' study model.
Okay, where did that data come from? And this is my point. We need to move on, okay? Dave, I'm not going to keep haggling with you. We're talking in circles. And the fact is, it is important to determine where your data comes from. I'm not going to argue with you anymore, Dave. I'm done arguing with you. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Hi. Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. What the hell am I doing here?
Welcome back. You know, I gave Dave more than 15 minutes, and I don't think Dave answered one question directly. I asked a few questions directly. I am willing to listen. I'm willing to answer questions as long as they're not rhetorical and baiting. I don't appreciate baiting questions. Not saying that Dave did that, but whenever that happens, it basically shuts the conversation down. It shuts me down anyway. I'm not interested in being baited. But I asked direct questions. And in 15 minutes, it was like trying to catch a greased pig. These people in government who I know, okay, well, what data is their modeling based on? And by the way, who are they? Can we know, or is it a secret? Are these people that, like so many times we hear, you know, sources close to the, say, you know, who wish to remain anonymous. Do they wish to remain anonymous? Because if so, that's weird. I find that peculiar. I'd think if you had quality information that you wanted to share so that you could prevent a catastrophe, you would want to make that as publicly known as possible. And you would probably want your name on it so that people could vet it and say, okay, this person is credible and this information is this is quality information. And we can vet all of this. Don't know who they are. Don't know what their data set is they use for modeling. And then we obfuscated on that. And then from there, we shift over to Mike Adams modeling. How did we get to Mike Adams modeling? It's like talking to Saul Alinsky. You know what? If you don't like this talking point, move the goalposts over here somewhere. And then move them over here and move them over there. We can't know. Well, then if we can't know, then why are we talking about any of this? These things don't even, these talking points defy logic. At the end there, you're proving my point that based on the NVSS initial guidance for certifying COVID-19 deaths, they're all going to get lumped in together. Based on your point, Dave, that if there is seasonal flu and these other contributing factors, it's all going to get lumped together. That's exactly my point. As it did in other countries, that's what Italy is saying now. This explosion of deaths is not that. And Italy is saying 88% of those, up to 88% already, they've established. It's an established fact now. Italy says about 88% of those numbers are not directly, those deaths were not directly caused by COVID-19. Well, that changes everything, doesn't it? Because 8215 times 0.88, 7200. So you're left with about 1,000 deaths, less than 1,000. So we do that the other way, 8215 times 0.12, 986, less than 1,000. That's what Italy says. So why is Johns Hopkins not adjusting these numbers down in real time if we're going to, you know, because it's an agenda. There's a lot of money to be made. There's a lot of control to be had. This is a crime that is unfolding in real time. If it was just, we're trying to put this information out, oh my goodness, it's bad, then these points would be put out at the same time this data is put out. Does that make sense? If it was just an honest, hey, we just want everyone to know, then this information would accompany this data. Italy says these numbers are not accurate. They need to be adjusted down. Even looking at the Johns Hopkins dashboard, the numbers coming out of China have been flat since the beginning of this month and before, actually. You know, speaking of these kinds of things, Fraulein Birx said, when did she say that? Let me see. I mean, I should just play that whole soundbite. Where is that? I don't know. Maybe we'll play a couple of sound bites in a second here. Bottom of the hour coming up. Stick around and we'll go back to the phones. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. I don't mean to pick on Dave, but this is a serious situation. There is a crime in progress. And maybe there's, you know, something that I need to be apprised of, and that I acknowledge. I don't know everything, but the numbers don't add up. And we're not acknowledging the fact that countries like Italy are revising their numbers significantly. We're not acknowledging the fact that Neil Ferguson says, by orders of magnitude, as Jeffrey Jackson said, that is a fact. It was originally 500,000 to 2.2 million people could die. That came out of that Imperial College of London report with the modeling that showed 500,000 to 2.2 million people in America could die. Now he says probably 20,000, that's probably a high number. Well, that's a low seasonal flu number, as Dave just pointed out. And 22,000 in 22 weeks is low for a flu season. It's not high, let's say that. High would be 45,000. High would be 60,000. Then, whoa, that's a lot, but it's not. That's not a pandemic. It hasn't been in the past. Again, go watch the video Del Bigtree did yesterday. He goes through the numbers. I'm telling you, That should be circulated far and wide. You know what? We didn't hear from Dave, and if he would have said this, I would respect it. Look, you're not here. This is what I'm seeing. Can I send you pictures? Can I email you these pictures? Because I'm reading articles of things like, you know, there are refrigeration trucks parked outside hospitals because the dead are just piling up everywhere in New York. Really? 365 deaths in the last couple of weeks is overwhelming New York City? Are you kidding me? Andrew Cuomo says New Yorkers are tough. That's overwhelming your system? Are you kidding me? You got refrigeration trucks that you're piling dead people up out on the sidewalks because, you know, this it doesn't add up. I suppose not appreciating my humor at the outset of our discussion probably was telling. I was being hyperbolic because these accounts in the media are hyperbolic. That's the point. Refrigeration trucks parked outside hospitals is a little hyperbolic, I would say. Wouldn't you? 365 deaths in the past couple of weeks in New York City should not overwhelm the system. And I understand all these cases, but like I said, again, we live in a society where people are socially engineered from cradle to grave. Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote back in the 70s in Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era, and it wasn't news then, and it's been written about since, that there was a time coming when if it wasn't on the 6 o'clock news, Americans wouldn't believe it. And if it is on the 6 o'clock news, man, it must be gospel. So I would suspect that in New York, there's a large contingent of folks who hear it on the news and go, oh my gosh, despite what Mike Pence reiterated, as I said, on the 18th and the 19th specifically, when he said, our health experts tell us to remind every American, it's important to remember people without symptoms should not get tested. I'm sure there are lots of people who have been. And we played I think we played the CBS Los Angeles clip yesterday, maybe. It's all a blur at this point. Of the, you know, the propaganda piece with the gentleman who got tested, and we're hearing, you know, immediate results. But this guy is self-quarantined in his tiny, you know, one-bedroom micro-apartment. His wife sticks her head in. Hi. But we're not in the same room, except when we are in our, you know, 20-square-foot micro-apartment. Self-quarantined, waiting for his results to come in, that came in 9 days later, and the anchor on CBS LA says, so what do you think now that your 14 days are over? What do you think? And he says, well, I think we should all just self-quarantine some more. Of course he says that. Wonder what happens if we look him up on Twitter. What kind of weird esoteric crap he has going on. I'm not buying it. So what we didn't hear was Dave say, I'm here, you're not seeing this. I would respect that. Instead, we have to obfuscate and engage in sophistry and moving of goalposts and things like that in a Alinskyite fashion, which I find very curious. Why do that? Why talk about people in government who remain nameless and faceless? And where did their data come from? Well, the data is not important. Really? How is the data not important to modeling? The modeling is based on data. The data is unreliable. The modeling is garbage. Garbage in, garbage out. And then we move to Mike Adams from there? I don't understand. How did that happen? I think I know how that happened or why. And if we can't know, then all of this discussion is futile. Here's what I know. Historically, this has never happened. Suddenly, out of nowhere, we're getting all of these models that tell us it could be catastrophic. This has never happened before. That's what I know. I also know what people have said. Deborah Birx on what was that, last Sunday? Well, not last Sunday, the Sunday before, the 15th. She said this. We have this clip. So from the Coronavirus Task Force press briefing, there is that bit about, you know, the spike in the curve. We'll have a spike in our curve, and people are freaking out. Why? Because there's testing going on. As more people have access, we're going to see a spike, of course. And that's all questionable. But she said that. Expect that. It's not. It's nothing to panic about. It's because people are getting tested, obviously. You know what I'm saying? Setting the conspiratorial elements of that aside, if no one's getting tested, cases are not being reported. When people start getting tested, cases are being reported. It's not like, oh my gosh, suddenly cases started. No, people are getting tested. She said that, but there's also another interesting bit that was in that. So listen to this. Go ahead, please.
Most important thing I know for each and every one of you is, how am I going to get my results? And so we're making sure also that the end of reporting is also there, that the reporting is available to you, to your doctor, and also to the state and local governments and the federal government, not with your personal identifiers, but to really understand where there are positives, where there are negatives, so we can ensure that healthcare providers have what they need to meet the demands of the American people and their health needs when they're there. Now, let me just say one bit about reporting. So you will notice as these tests roll out over this next week, we will have a spike in our curve. For those of you who watched China and China reporting, remember when they changed their definition and all of a sudden there was a blip in their curve? We are going to see that. We are going to see a spike as more and more people have access. And I want to finish by again reminding people.
Even Fraulein Birx admits, you know what, we're going to see a spike. And that's what happened last month around February 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, right around there. You can see there's a massive uptick of, you know, tens of thousands of cases. James Corbett talked about this. Lies, damn lies, and what was it, coronavirus statistics or something like that. What was it titled? Lies, damn lies, and coronavirus infection numbers. That's what it was, one of his Propaganda Watch installments. So she said, even Fraulein Birx said, we're going to see a spike. Remember when China... Okay, and then what happened immediately after that in the China numbers? Immediately after that, they flattened out. Isn't that interesting? Is the press focusing on that, the mainstream press, or is a narrative being pushed? What else did you hear in there? The reporting is available. We're going to make sure at the end of reporting is available to you, to your doctors, and also the state and local governments and the federal government. Not with your personal identifiers. Wait a minute. What? State, local, and federal government. What? Not with your personal identifiers. She labors under the delusion of anonymization. She needs to go read Paul Ohm's Broken Promises of Privacy, responding to the surprising failure of anonymization. It is a myth. There's no such thing. But I'm pretty sure she probably knows that too. This is a point that they've reiterated. Maybe this one. I'm just going to play this and we'll go to the phones, because we need to get back to the phones. But Vice President Mike Pence on the 19th, doubling down on that. And there's all kinds of stuff going on in the background. You know, there is the Earn It Act. There is the Secure 5G nonsense that just, there's all of this stuff going on. And so, you know, some of us have been kind of nervous about all of this. I drew myself a picture early on, and I've mentioned it, you know, with the coronavirus scare, and it turns out that's precisely what it is. We're seeing, this is the funnel. The coronavirus scare is the funnel into which restricted travel, real ID, vaccines, 5G, bioengineering, surveillance, eugenics, population reduction, and a little bit of genetic engineering and biotech, AI, the rewilding initiative, continuity of government, a cashless society, you know, cryptocurrency nonsense, an economic reset, quote unquote, but it's actually a collapse, a universal basic income, a UBI. I mean, we're seeing it all roll out all at once. Are we not? And that was the speculation by some of us early on, you, me, other folks. You know, you dump all that into the funnel of the coronavirus scare and out pops control, police state, technocratic, communitarian, communist, socialist, fascist dystopia. That's what's happening. Right before our very eyes, a crime is being committed. And so I wrote this down, I don't know, what, last week or something, and it just keeps unfolding. And it's based on fabricated information and incorrect data. So Mike Pence, March 19th, coronavirus task force press briefing. Go ahead, please.
Hey. Because of the public-private partnership that the president initiated several weeks ago with major commercial labs, I'm pleased to receive a report today that tens of thousands of tests are being performed every day. And with the passage of last night's legislation, state and private labs are now required by law to report all coronavirus testing directly to the CDC, which will give the American public and also give our researchers timely and important information. It's important for every American to remember that if you don't have symptoms, you don't need to get a test. We want to make sure the testing is available for people that are experiencing symptoms or have a genuine concern about having been exposed to someone
All right.
with the coronavirus.
So it's important for every American to remember, blah, blah, blah. But wait a minute. What did you say? First of all, public-private partnership. That's you mean Wall Street's fascist conspiracy that never ended? That's interesting. Another public-private partnership. Tens of thousands of tests. And so back up, Fraulein Birx says, you know, we're going to see a spike, right? Tens of thousands of tests. And, you know, that's another thing I've talked about. You know, testing New Yorkers at 5,000 a whack, you know, per day would take just under 4.5 years, or excuse me, just over 4.5 years to test everybody. But, you know, whatever, numbers. State and private labs are now required by law to report all coronavirus testing directly to the CDC. Oh, you mean that corrupt organization that just keeps getting exposed time and time again for fraud, corruption, and collusion with the pharmaceutical industry in particular? You need to report all the numbers to them. What could possibly go wrong? Back to the phones. Chance in West Virginia. Welcome.
Yes, hello,
thanks for calling.
Chris. Hello, Chris. You know, with each passing day, this is looking more and more like the ultimate mind screw. You know, first they say, if you don't have the symptoms, you don't have to take the test. Then the other one says, you should get tested nevertheless.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And here's my personal favorite now, Chris. Here's my personal favorite coming up. If you take the test, there's a high chance you'll get a false positive. Now, people can't see through all this nonsense. Then the incubation period, you should incubate for 14 days. Then they say the virus could stay in your system. You could be asymptomatic for up to 28 days. Now, isn't that something? You know, let me tell you,
and
Chris,
it could live for it could live forever on surfaces, but never mind the fact that Andrew Cuomo said yesterday, you know what, maybe stacking sick people up on top of each other in a little petri dish wasn't the best idea. Maybe that wasn't a good idea. Not
you
sure.
Want to hear something, Chris? I'm convinced that even if this so-called thing dies out, they'll still keep the fear going on because they're already...
That's my point.
This point. They saw up to
That's
this
exactly,
point how it worked on people's emotions. You know, I'm at the point now. I'm at the point to avoid useless arguments about this. I would pull an Ed Norton from the old Honeymooners episode. I don't know if you remember. When people start talking nonsense, I would say, oh, can't talk anymore. Don't come near me. I'm coroned. I mean, that's to the point I'm getting with this nonsense. It's getting just so ridiculous. And now I hear we just became number one in the world in cases yesterday. How do you like that? And the states are shutting down gun stores. I mean, there's so much here that people aren't adding together. To
so,
say, hey, wait
so
a minute.
Here's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all remember the insider trading that precipitated the events on September 11, 2001.
Yeah.
I've talked about some of it. You know, Really Graceful did the excellent video showing the fact that, you know, we've had hundreds of CEOs who resigned right around the time this was in the wings. John in Tennessee sent me a thing today, Business Insider article. Where is that? That's billionaire investor Bill Ackman turned $27 million into $2.6 billion by betting that the coronavirus would tank the market. Now, how would he know that? Because this is unprecedented.
Exactly.
It's never happened before. And so here's my question. If he knew, if Richard Byrne knew, if all these CEOs knew, et cetera, et cetera, and a kid who's licking a deodorant stick in Walmart is considered a terrorist, is Bill Gates a terrorist?
There you go. This is the ultimate mind screw, Chris. It's looking more and more like it as time passes by. I don't know. I'm coming to believe that totally now. All right, Chris, I'm going to let you go, and thank you for taking my call. Keep up the good work,
you
and
bet.
God bless.
Thank you, Chance. You too. People, this is the crime of your lifetime. 9/11 was a crime, and it was orchestrated by folks. I mean, just in simple terms, for those who don't know, again, 15, it's a publicly established fact, 15 of 19 alleged hijackers were Saudis. And that's not fair to other Saudis, because those folks were issued their visas through what J. Michael Springman calls the CIA's Visas for Terrorists program at the Jeddah Consulate. What does that tell you, America? Been had. And that's just the tippy, tippy, tippy snowflake on the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. This, I think, makes that look small by comparison. You know, as we see these numbers piling up, are the deaths going to eclipse what happened on September 11, 2001? It sounds like it. And so is Bill Gates a terrorist? I think so. If a kid licking a deodorant stick in Walmart is, or people, you know, kids sneezing on people is considered possibly terrorism, Bill Gates is a terrorist. And everyone involved in this scam should be brought up on charges that are tantamount to terrorism and crimes against humanity. Watch the video that Del Bigtree put out yesterday over at the High Wire with Del Bigtree on YouTube. Trump versus Fauci, battle of agendas. Every single talking point is picked apart in that 2-hour and 15-minute video. Every single one. I wanted to play the whole thing in its entirety, but just watch it and circulate it far and wide. There is a crime being committed right now. It's underway. Back to the phones. Fred in Iowa, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, I'm going to only try to only be a minute, but not to beat a dead horse, but Dave is not alone. There's quite a few callers like Dave, and it just sickens and irritates me and everything like that. If a person's going to give you a circular argument, the question I hate to get asked me is, well, yes or no, because that question is, well, did you stop beating your wife? Well, you'll still get the circular argument from the person you're talking to. And on the Goebbels-Joseph show, he uses that tactic quite often. But what he won't let you do, if you happen to answer, have you stopped beating your wife, yes or no, well, hell, you incriminate yourself either way. But
yep.
Give time for rebuttal, you know, but he won't do it. He'll shut you off right there and then, you know, make a demon out of you. So it's pretty useless. I like the way you do it. Well, what's your point? What's your point? You're going to get a circular argument. And frankly, my dear, it pisses me off. But anyhow, you know, if I'm wrong, I want to find out. And it can be demeaning and embarrassing and all that. But by God, by golly, I want to learn, you know. And some of the people that I don't really hold them in high esteem do have some good points. Anyhow, I've done enough. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Fred, as always. Much appreciated. Absolutely. And that was my point there at the end. Look, if Dave says, this is what's going on, I'm here. Can I send you? I've been getting pictures from folks of things from around the country. And I respect that. You're there. I'm not. I'm here. You're not here. This is part of how we come up to speed together. But that's not what happened. Anyway, back to the phones. Mike in Kentucky, thanks for calling. Welcome.
I just realized something. You used to be on the air back when the Freeman was holed up, weren't you? Didn't you have a shortwave show way back when?
Mm-mm.
Is that a different Hinckley? Not you, huh?
I don't know. Mm-mm. No, never did. Okay, I would. Let me say that I did not initiate a shortwave thing, but I mean, there's micro broadcasting that goes on, obviously. So.
All right. Well, I'd heard.
The board op says we were on shortwave. Show. Years
way
ago, it could have been.
When the Freeman were hauled up on their Justice Township, and there was a guy, it was a co-host sort of, that was a legal guy named Mike, I thought it was you. I've got to go back and find I have it on audio cassette.
Right on.
Where I called in on that show, and later on in the show, the Freeman called in on the show, and I thought for a second that was you. That's
I
not
don't
you.
Think so. Doesn't ring a bell. Uh-uh.
Okay. Well, never mind. I thought because you sound a lot younger than that. So, just to me, anyway.
I'm pushing 50.
Well, okay. So you could have been on shortwave in your early 20s or something, I guess, back then. But
No, I started doing this back in 2006. I want to say.
Okay, 2006. Well, I'm thinking of another show about a decade earlier. But in any event, part of your show
that
was
definitely
replay.
Not me.
Part of your show was on repeat earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I didn't realize you were going to go live, and I was trying to call in about some of the stuff you were talking about. And then you mentioned again this guy that is encouraging people from Los Angeles. Is what I heard today or read a headline today that said that they were giving up on testing. That the headline was, quote, Los Angeles or
right.
Los
the
Angeles County surrenders to the coronavirus. No more testing.
Yeah.
What about that?
When in reality it should be life back to normal because it's all a fraud. Anyway, thank you, Mike. Folks, I hope you have a great weekend. Watch that video by Del Bigtree. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network, late-night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore, is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443. At 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth.